Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Audio Summit. I'm joined today by my sister in Christ, Amber Wiegand Buckley, and I am to talk to Amber today, not just because of the wealth of information that she's bringing to the table, but I'm so excited to get into her session. And so before we dive in, before I get ahead of myself, I do want to turn things over to Amber so that she can tell you a little bit more about herself before we dive in.
Thank you so much. I am so blessed to be here on this audio summit talking about something very close to my heart. So I am an award-winning author, speaker, podcaster, and I'm the founding editor and art director for the award-winning magazine, Leading Hearts. I also am the creative director for Bold Vision Books. And I also am a consultant for authors and speakers. I love to be able to help unwrap the gifts in women to be able to propel them to the next level of purpose, the purpose that God has for them to walk fully in that.
I absolutely love that.
I am a Springfield, Missouri native down in Southwest Missouri. I have a British husband. We call ourselves an Anglo-Ozark. And I have two 20-something daughters. And I have also a 17-year-old, all of them on a high-level autism spectrum. I myself navigate bipolar disorder, which I talk about in my book, Leading Ladies, Discover Your God-Grown Strategy for Success. And part of my heart in that is to help people navigate and embrace the idea that mental health, that a diagnosis doesn't disqualify you from God's leadership call on your life. And it doesn't disqualify you and all the good things that you have to give. That is a part of my divine makeup. Yes, sometimes you feel like, oh, this, I just need to pray and be healed from this. But I don't think that's necessarily the case that God has for us. I have two of my little children are big white Great Pyrenees dogs named Stuart and Stanley. I believe that they are a part of my mental health story in that they bring peace and calm to my everyday life and joy. Because when you have to navigate any type of mental health issue, especially I fall on the manic side of my bipolar diagnosis, they remind me to just sit and be at peace and just pet their fluffy fur. So I also like to take them into the community and let other people experience the peace and joy that my dogs bring to my life.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And I love that it's not just something that you learned works mm-hmm. for you, but that you're sharing it with others.
Yes. I've had so many moments when I was at the park, and I think it's next level of ministry for me, actually, because they come up on people and they lean against them. And it's in many of those moments that I find people just release their hearts to me as far as what they're struggling with. I really needed this today. And I'm like, God, you're allowing me to use my dogs to bring comfort and healing to people. And I'm like, yeah, I never thought of that before. But a lot of people don't think of those things and don't realize that they carry the healing power of Christ. We carry that with us. And right. in very small ways, in significant, in what we would say as insignificant ways, as walking a dog, it's opened conversations for me to share healing and to share love and actually to share the journey I've walked through. And I really appreciate those moments that God just organically opens up, that doesn't even have to deal with me being on a podcast or me writing a book or me writing a magazine. And I think that's something that we can all embrace. Yeah. And there's my dog in the background. He's having his two cents as well.
I love that. Let's take a step back for a moment. You are sharing a very powerful topic with us today. And I remember when I first read it, I chuckled a little bit. I was like, ooh, I've got to learn more about that. So today's session topic is take off the makeup, the key to authenticity, moving forward in your God-given purpose. How did you come up with that title?
I grew up in a Christian home. And in that Christian home, I learned a lot about lying for God. It's putting the makeup on life to make your family or God look better, which is the anti what you think. God tries to bring us into truth, and here we're trying to hide to be acceptable to those who are Christians around us. My dad worked at a Christian organization for a denomination, and he also dealt with depression. He dealt with anger, and we would get the brunt of that growing up. And so a lot of my childhood, I was feeling like I had to preserve face, put the makeup on, iron your clothes, cover any bruises, and get to church. And I feel like a lot of people are still there when they get into adulthood, because they never really found healing to be themselves. Took me through a journey where I was working for the same organization, doing the youth magazine, wanting to keep my face, yet I had some toxic things that was happening in even my marriage that wasn't right, but I had learned to lie for God. I had learned to put on the makeup. I learned to show up for church. I learned to make my kids look right, act right. I don't even know what I was supposed to be doing. But there came a time, 19 years into my marriage, that all of a sudden my mind broke. And I had a major bipolar episode that was 6 months long. I was up writing all the time, hearing rhyming words in my head. And it was crazy that it coincided with this desire to heal in a very tangible way with who I was, my relationship with my spouse, everything. So all this came to a head. And in that time where I was not sleeping, and I felt I was hearing these lovely words of adoration, and I thought, okay, maybe God's doing something that's releasing healing in me. But during this process, something also very dark came to the surface of chronic writing, the inability to find real peace in that. All I wanted to do was lay down in the daffodils in a field. And I would write constantly. I would write while I was driving. I would write literally. I wouldn't text and drive. I would write on a journal and I was driving. And I would write on my own body. I would write on the toilet. Everywhere became my writing space. And at the time, I thought, I couldn't sit back and say, oh, wow, this is what I'm dealing with. But at the same time of all that, I'd never addressed healing in a really good way. So it was like all this goodness and all this healing was balled up, and everything good and everything bad was touching in such a way that everything felt overwhelming, every feeling, every thought. And that was where I had a moment where I was just so angry. I was so angry at my husband for doing all that he did and wanting him to change, realizing that this is toxic and this should not continue. But then I let the hatred overcome all that in this moment of a manic period of my life. And when I got to the head in that, my husband and I were actually we had started going to a counselor, and that was about 4 months into my episode. And at the end of it, she saw me going over the edge into psychosis. And she said, I think you need to go and check yourself in to the hospital. It's funny because I have these big moments in my brain that I can't even remember. And I think that's God's blessing in that. So you can't remember some of the things that you've walked through, because not only would you be mortified, but you'd be consumed in that dark place. And God wants you to. I think he gives us those moments of forgetting, burying it at the bottom of the, because that's where he is when we struggle or when we have struggled through some stuff. He puts those things in his forgetfulness.
Exactly.
So he covered those most probably traumatic things for me to remember. I think that's the biggest blessing in this. But also at the other side of this, I think I felt like I had gone through 39 years of my life, and even carrying a pastoral label, a ministerial label in where I was working, for approval. But I really did not understand who God was and how much he loved my bones and dirt, because that's what his bones break, dirt's dirty. That's who we are as in our frail humanity. Yeah. But in our frailest moments, even with a diagnosis of bipolar disorder, which some people say, oh, that's horrible. Like, how could you do that? A lot of people write people off for having a mental health issue, especially in ministry.
Yeah.
I just felt, no, this is where I needed you to be.
Exactly.
All along. in that moment, I just felt, God, am I realizing who you are for the very first time in my life? And that's when I felt, yeah, I may have given my heart to God when I was 6 years old, but I didn't know the real depth of who he is.
Yeah.
Until I broke. Until I wasn't trying to do anything on my own. And I wanted people to see me, who I am, because I was tired of lying for God.
Yeah.
And forget about what everybody else thinks about who you should be. The only person that whose opinion matters is God. I don't have to seek to impress or show up or do anything, because God knows my heart and everything else is a moot point. And one of the things I wrote when I was going through my period of breaking, which I call my mental health crisis. I would go up to the church balcony when it was completely empty, the lights were turned out, and I would start writing while everybody else was in their classes. And I wrote down, I feel that the church is most sacred when it's empty. It's just you and me, and I'm not thinking about everybody else around me, seeing if I raise my hand at the right moment, I'm singing at the right moment, I'm standing at the right moment. I feel I can be myself without makeup.
Yeah.
And I believe that God pushed me into that mode of thinking, because I even was refused for jobs because I said, God's brought me through so much. I don't want to, this is who I am. I'm not going to stop talking about it. Are you okay with that? And I never received a follow-up phone call.
And this was ministry work?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I do. I have to, I can't say that I'm a recovered bipolar. I am a woman who deals with bipolar disorder on a daily basis. Thankfully, yes. I don't have to travel alone.
Yes.
Thankfully, I have medicine that helps me, that I believe God, I don't think every medicine is, everybody's different and everything. I think, to me, taking my medicine is a sacred act of communion to how God has helped me walk in more of a well-being. I'm not all for this. You have, this is what your healing looks like. It's not taking medicine, because I don't think that's what healing is. I think God works on us in, my healing is emotional healing, being able to take medicine and be okay with that, because it's a sacred act and I'm being obedient to what was prescribed. Some people wouldn't say that, but thing I have learned is I can be sad. I can have my depressed times. And it's not my responsibility of, as being a person who desires to bring others towards God's goodness, to be okay all the time. In fact, it's quite the opposite.
Amber, I just want to take a moment, because I think that's going to set someone free. What you just said was, in essence, a permission slip to stop posturing, stop pretending, stop putting on the face, mm-hmm. right? Stop putting on the makeup and pretending that you're someone that you're not.
And a lot of times we think we have to have what does restoration look like? That's what you have to ask yourself.
Yeah.
And it looks like different for everyone. But actually, it's also the same. It's inviting God into your lack. And sometimes we have to re-examine, what does lack look like? Because the world's idea of lack is quite different from God's idea of lack. God has put everything in us from the beginning to do what he's called us to do so he can step into it and be glorified. Why should we be ashamed of our story? Why should we be ashamed of who we are? Why should we be ashamed of living without makeup? And I know I'm not against, let me qualify the statement. I like eyebrows as much as anybody. I like long lashes. That doesn't disqualify you, but it doesn't make me any less when I show up in my messy bun, because life is a messy bun.
Yeah.
And we all tackle it in different ways. But thankfully, we have God to step into all that. And it's okay. A lot of people say, oh, I used to write myself off because my bipolar anxiety disorder, ADHD, I leave everything in piles. I am a messy person. And it's sometimes hard to collaborate with me on certain levels. My co-writer, we've had some different moments where we've had conflict because of our different personalities and different ways of doing things. And I have my issues, and that doesn't make me bad. Being a different individual doesn't make you bad. Being a forgetful person does not make you bad. Being a person who has a pile of dirty dishes and can't cook to save their life does not make you bad. I think that we just have it all mixed up. We have it crazy because we try to fit into the titles that we're given, and we think we should be good at everything.
Yeah.
But I think in a lot of areas of my life, I've given myself permission not to be at my best. And it's okay to show up on stage if you have whatever stage you're on and have a bad day and still do what God's called you to do. And you can do what God's called you to do and be depressed. And you can vocalize, I'm having a really horrible day today. It's okay. I don't know, where did we get into the mindset of we can't say anything negative because we enter a disparaging word or something. We are toxifying our healing because we say something negative. I think God's bigger than that.
I have to agree with you.
I think that he knows all about us. He knows when we think those things, let alone verbalize those things. Sometimes you just want to be honest a little bit.
Right.
And God's bigger than that. So why are we saying everything that we walk through, we have to just keep silent, keep a stiff upper lip, as my husband from British culture, can you imagine, everything's about keeping a stiff upper lip, which was one of the toxic things that we had to get over as a couple, because it doesn't do any good to keep calm and carry on when you are literally dying inside and you need healing. I think some people right here, some people who are listening to this have been told, fed a lie that they need to have faith to be better without help. Because the only help they need is prayer. And I'm not disparaging prayer, but you know what? God does what only he can do, but he expects us to put some feet to what we can do.
So good.
Do not let your healing be hijacked because you think you can work out your healing on your own, just you and God in a corner. That is not where healing happens. That is not where taking off the makeup happens. It takes, okay, I'm going to go out. I'm going to be okay being who I am. And also inviting others. And I'll also say this. Sometimes we expect our church or church people to be, number one, able to handle what we have. So that's all we go to is our, and I'm not disparaging Christian counseling whatsoever. But what people don't understand is some of this prolonged stuff, it's a medical issue. We don't go to our church pastor if we're having a heart attack. Right at then, you call 911. The prayers are great. The prayer is needed. In fact, I think the biggest thing that God gives us is wisdom and guidance in prayer to do the things that we need to do, that we can do. Because he steps in for the miracle part, but he gave us 2 feet, 2 hands, and a mouth to step out in faith that he's moving us towards our healing, but we need to go into the direction of wellness. And as I said, wellness is releasing yourself to move towards healing
and seeking that out. Not just seeing it one way.
No. So I would encourage anyone who is allowing the enemy to hijack their healing to take a brave step through the fire, because fire might come. You're going to have fire from the church. I guarantee it. Sometimes you have to walk through the brimstone and damnation of the church. And I'm not saying every church, but I'll tell you what, I've been, some church people said some pretty hateful things to me. In fact, that's where I got a lot of that. But when will you know that God uses his vessels to do very unholy things sometimes? But you don't want those people. I'm not trying to be negative, but people are people, human, frail, dealing right with their own baggage. So don't expect everybody to be on board with your healing, especially when you come into a place where you're free to talk about it. Because people will, you shouldn't do that, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm going to be who God authentically called me to be and have my mouth loosed to say what he's calling me to say. That's the only way I felt healing in life, is moving through this and being authentic to where I am and where God is taking me every day.
That's so helpful. Mm-hmm. Quick question for you, Amber. As you have moved through this healing journey, mm-hmm. outside of the Lord just revealing things to you, right? Mm-hmm. Because you mentioned at the beginning of your journey, when you were in that manic state, he was just revealing to you things that were toxic and weren't for you, weren't in alignment with his plans for you.
Yeah.
After you went through that period of revelation, mm-hmm. how did you come to terms with the fact that, okay, this doesn't look the way it should look. This isn't what my Father has for me. How did you move from that into a point where now you can walk boldly and confidently with courage as your authentic self? Well, what did that transition look like?
Firstly, the real transition came with coming to terms with. I needed to be in the hospital. I needed medical intervention. I started realizing who I was, how things were acting out were a part of a chemical condition, as well as just some of these things that were occurring during this time. I saw not only snippets of it in my childhood, but I had this realization from being in a household growing up with someone who I am pretty 150% sure was an undiagnosed bipolar person, which was my father. I had to come into realization with my diagnosis. Then I had to come into alignment with medication and prescription. That was hard because when all that happened, also the magazine industry dropped out. Not only was my mental health failing, my purpose was crumbling, and I felt like my marriage was, during this time, it was amazing. God brought my husband into a place of authenticity, which is in itself a miracle, because into a period of taking off the makeup, which for a British person might even be more challenging because of the way culturally it is, where he fought for me. When I was doing everything to kick against him, he was fighting for me, taking the punches of me, being stripped in repentance, like walking, almost like you're walking down a street naked, having tomatoes thrown at you. That's the level of his repentance. And while I was walking through medication and all that, my first year, God gave me actually a year of severance, short-term disability, because I felt like I lost the ability to write or say anything. And writing was my life. It's like a plug pulled out. And all of a sudden, one of the things I mention in my book, Leading Ladies, where I share my story, is it felt like I had a massive head wound, like I was recovering from a huge car wreck. And I would physically touch the back of my head to make sure my brains weren't exposed. So walking through this year of not being employed, short-term disability, it was almost like God was saying, I need you to rest completely right now. And Philip did everything to pick up the slack. My daughters did everything to pick up the slack and to minister to me as if I was in a Job moment, because I didn't have the capacity to function what I would say normally, or even at 50% of the same level I was beforehand. So that showed me a lot in that time of grace and love. And step by step, moment by moment, tweaking of medicine, I got to a place where I eventually took another job and in fundraising. And I had been in journalism all my life, and here I was writing for fundraising. And God began to restore me little bit by little bit. And if I have to be 150% honest, it has been three steps forward, one step back, five steps forward, one step back. So that has been my healing journey. And there's elements I deal with every day. But in walking through it, knowing God is faithful, even seeing the opportunity that God gave me after all of this to come back to Leading Hearts, which is the magazine that I've been doing for 11 years, that in the middle of all this, when I was working in fundraising, I said, God, how did I end up here doing fundraising? You gave me a gift. I will do what you've called me to do, even if I have to do it for free. Within a week, I had the call that said, hey, you want to help start a magazine? We don't have any funding. But I think as I've gone through, seeing how God has been faithful when I was walking through the most rebellious headspace in my life, and seeing others minister to me in those moments really started to bring me out into the other side of the toxic space that I was in. So at first it was like, let's get some medical things going on. Let's get her the way that relationally move her to a better place. And that was happening all along. I can't pinpoint an exact place that I was like, oh, you know how that when you have pain and it's even chronic pain and you've had it for a long time and all of a sudden it's gone.
Yeah.
And you can't pinpoint the moment it happened. That's how it happened for me. And when I started working at Leading Hearts and I said, this is what God has walked me through. I want to be able to be transparent. I want to be able to be authentic. I want to talk about this. And I felt support. That was a part of the healing journey. Because once I started little bit by little bit, taking off the makeup, walking forward, being convinced that God had forgiven me. Part of God did not have to forgive me for having mental health issues. Sometimes we're like, God, forgive me, take this away. That's not necessarily how it works. And all of a sudden we think that's evil or something like that. And it's not. It's just a part of the human condition that I have to walk through. And I still walk through. But I have this ability. I think God has given me this ability through this to have incredible passion for compassion for people, because it's that truth. It's To Kill a Mockingbird, walking through somebody's shoes. You never know a person until you walk through their shoes. And when I see people, like even the people who do the most dark things, we have no capacity to unpack what they've walked through. So start living knowing that people are bones and dirt. And it's by the grace of God we're where we are. And thankfully, some people realize it's by the grace of God, and some people haven't found that out. I'm thankful I found that out. And I'm thankful I walk every day knowing that there may be struggle, but knowing that God is not judging us because of what we struggle with. He knows us better than that. And he, it was pretty obvious. It talks in the Bible about in this life, you will have many troubles. Some of them are what you struggle with. Of course, we struggle. And I've learned to stop demonizing people because they struggle. And I don't know what they've walked through. And you know what? God loves them just like he loves us. Yeah. When you call yourself, and I know this is struggle for some people, you are beloved. You are loved just as much as God loves his son. He loves you in the same, very same way. Can we get a hold of that? And he sees the struggle and he loves us just like he loves his son. That blows me away.
It does. It forces you to accept the fact that because he's a loving God, he's going to break us gracefully and put us back together so we can get back to a place of relationship with him, so that we can get back in covenant with him and his promises for us.
Yeah.
And the other thing that it forces you to do is stop judging. I don't know if it's just the human condition, if it's society, family pressures, I don't know what it is, but somewhere along the way, we pick up the habit of believing that we could do things better than God. Oh, why does this person have this condition? Why did this person do this thing?
Yeah.
And instead of doing that, I think we need to be more considerate, like you said, and take a step back.
Yeah.
And look at it from God's perspective, right?
Yeah.
How is he using this for his glory?
And I think too, when we look at people all the time and I don't know what it is. Sometimes we look at people and we're just like, I wonder why she got here, or wonder why she's doing what she's doing. And it's one of the reasons that we had the ladies that we featured in the book. She was a prostitute, drug addict, and just telling her story and framing up her God story in that. God is working out people's salvation stories. He's working them out in the dirt, in the addiction. So why do we feel like we have to apologize? We give our testimony and all of a sudden we're apologizing. I was a real bad person, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Thank God that he showed up when I was. We don't ever thank God for our testimony. Thank God I have a testimony that I can relate to real people, that I can help people instead of being shamed by it.
Yeah.
And silenced. Yeah. I don't want to ever be ashamed of my testimony. I don't want to be ever ashamed of what my struggle is, because God has given it to me and he shows up in it and through it to help others.
Yes.
So that's what taking off the makeup is. It's, hey, I'm dealing with this today, but God, thank you for allowing me to share you as being, allowing you into my story, allowing you into my stinky places.
Yeah.
I used to say, who would invite Jesus into your toilet while you're having the worst cramps of your life? But you know what? He's there.
Yeah.
He's there in the places that you don't want anybody else. You know what? That's where we're most vulnerable. And that's where God needs to get to heal us. That's the place of healing. It's not necessarily taking away symptoms or issues. It's just allowing God to move freely in the places that you are most vulnerable in, and not being pushed back into the closet by everybody who thinks everything's oversharing. God has brought people under my umbrella need to experience freedom like I did. And everybody else who is uncomfortable with that, I don't need to be worried about them, because someplace else they need to be. Someone else is going to minister to them. And I cannot be ashamed. I cannot live ashamed for my God when he asks me to take off the makeup. So why am I living for someone else and the appearance of perfection, or even the appearance of I'm over this now. Because we always, people struggle all the time. I see this gentleman every day who walks down the road. I get my coffee and I know he has Tourette syndrome. It's scary. It's scary when you look at it. But I was saying, how many people judge him for something that is noticeably off? How many people pray and love that, would reach out and love to that person? Because he's acting in a way that makes him act. How many people would just think less of him because he has this issue? God doesn't. So are we going to be moved into judgment? Or are we going to be moved into compassionate understanding? And compassionate understanding means I understand your dirt and bones just like me, and our struggles may look different, but God loves us like he loves his son. The worst person you think exists in this world, God loves them just like he loves his son.
That's beautiful.
I'm tired of wearing makeup. Anyone who hears this, I just encourage you. Taking off your makeup is never comfortable, but it's a place that we need to get to. It's a place where God truly knows us to be. And stop living for acceptability of others. Realizing if we are living authentically who we are, God brings the people into our path that need what we need. And we have the answer, which is Christ. That's who we're meant to be. That's who we're meant to reach. The one. The one who we can share a similar story with. How beautiful is that? He's given us all the capacity to reach the one in our bones and dirt. And he steps into that and makes something glorious. That doesn't come with pretense. That doesn't come with a compelling stage presence. That doesn't come with a corporate title. It's the biggest privilege of our lives to be able to speak the truth of who we are in the light of who Christ is in us to transform lives.
Thank you so much for sharing, Amber. I think today's interview is going to challenge more people to do just that. It's going to challenge them to abandon things like stigmas around mental health. Yeah. It's going to challenge them to see the person, like you said, on the corner, and not just see their mental illness or the fact that they're homeless or whatever may be the thing that you are judging in them, and instead see them as a child of God, whether they know it or not, who is worthy and deserving of God's love, and knowing that you are the instrument that he put there to do just that, to share his love and his light.
Yeah. I am so thankful that this is where God has brought me into wellness by being authentic about struggle.
Tell our listeners, how can they stay in contact with you?
My book, Leading Ladies, Discover Your God-Grown Strategy for Success, is on Amazon and all the different places. And my website, leadingladies.life, I have an amazing co-author in crime. I call her Lisa Burris Burns, great, amazing woman who actually walked with me through my mental health journey. And God brought her to me in a place where I needed her the most. And we've grown with each other. So Leading Life, my co-author and I have a podcast called Coffee Chat with Amber and Lisa. Real life, real influence, no makeup required. We have 37 episodes of the podcast out in which we talk about taking off the makeup, the authentic struggle, authentic healing, and walking fully into God's leadership call, because that's where we all are. Success is walking freely into purpose without makeup. Yeah. So that's what we talk about. We talk about the messy bun life and how God uses that. And so Leading Ladies Life, the magazine that I am the editor and art director for, leadinghearts.com, it's to just basically empowering Christian women to arise to their God-given calling. I think there's a theme here, because that is, I just feel like that is who I am, is I love for women to realize their world-changing potential because of their unique selves and the God who lives in them and empowers them and walks into everything that they do to make great things happen. Miracles. That's where miracles happen. Where faith meets God's amazing, unlimited, infinite potential. Anything is possible. Mm-hmm. So leadingladies.life, leadinghearts.com. And on leadingladies.life, you will find the podcast, you'll find interviews, you'll find, we have a project single for our book written by Michaela Weaver, The Keeper's Co. It's called Lead Me On. You can go there and sign up and get that free download. It is an absolutely beautiful song. We have over 30 women in the book, including Babbie Mason, the Chewbacca lady, Candace Payne, just all these amazing women from diverse areas of life, a human trafficking survivor. And just, it was an amazing project to hear all these women's stories and bring it together in this book. You get to meet some of those on the podcast and also on our website. So I encourage people to go there, and I'm excited to share that with you and be on the journey together.
I'm so excited for that. I know that there are people who are going to hear your testimony today, who are going to be not only moved to action, because this was definitely one of those, let's not sit on your hands and listen to it and not move forward and take something from it and actually change the way you look at others and change the way you show up in your life. So they're going to be moved to action. And I know that they're also going to be led to connect with you, to stay in touch with you so that they continue to be challenged and continue to grow and learn. Because we're all leading ladies, whether you accept that or not, you are called to be a leader. God did not call us to hide our light under a bushel. He did not call us to be fearful or timid. We have stories to tell, and we have to tell them. It's a part of his divine plan. It's a part of his command for us to spread the good news throughout the world. The good news is Jesus being our Lord and Savior. The good news is heaven is our destiny. The good news is also, look what he did for me, and he can do it for you too.
That's amazing. Yes. I'm so thankful and grateful you invited me to share, and I appreciate that.